grabbed them certain makos. Certain makot. We're up to Daf Gimel and Aleph. So let's just finish up the last line before the Mishnah. Listen, the Mishnah says, the case was going, the top of the page was Rav Yehuda Merav, the second line. I'm not going to go into Gemara again, just review the last line. We didn't really finish up the last line. The second line on the page, Daf Gimel and Aleph, said, Omar Rav Yehuda Merav, Eide Zayim, Eide Zayim, Misham Lefi Chel Koi. So what do those words mean? Mayim Misham Lefi Chel Koi. The Gemara's Maskan is, what it means is, witnesses testify that Reuven owes someone $1,000, and then two other witnesses walk in and say Imanu Hayisem, so they're Edom Zaymimim. Now the Edom Zaymimim, so what is the halacha? So we see similar kasher zamam, and so the Gemara said if they immediately run away, this is the Gemara's maskana. If two witnesses walk in, they say Imanu Hayisem, and Bezin says, ah, we got you, gotcha. Is that gotcha? Is that how you pronounce it?
Anybody
want to
say?
Let me go to Google and check.
Okay, no.
Don't take it out.
It's also to eat, and it's also to have a cell phone.
It's amazing. This is a phenomenon. They used to speak this. Don't speak Lashon Hara for an hour a night. You know, people who cannot. Yeah. Imagine, don't touch your phone for an hour every night. It's not possible.
It's a good idea.
It's not possible. Impossible.
We do it here on Daf Yomi.
No, we don't. Every night, there's always
somebody picks it up.
It's always ding, 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 ding. So the Gemara here says that the person says you owe me $1,000. Two witnesses testify that Reuven owes Hashem $1,000, and then two witnesses walk in and say you're with us. So then Bezin paskins, you're guilty. You are Edim Zaymimim. Immediately these guys fly out the window. Out the window they go and they run away. And then one guy walks in and he says later on, even both, they walk into another Bezin later on and they say, you know, we're guilty. We were Edim Zaymim, we testified that Ibn Oisim, Bezin Paskin, Edim Zaymim. So the Bezin says, guess what, you're off the hook. It's Knas Ein Meshalem Al Pi Atzmai. You're exempt. But that's not the case of the Gemara. The case of the Gemara is where the Bezin says, got you, you're Edim Zaymim, you're guilty. Now, penalty phase. Let's review. How much did you want to be Mechayev this person? $1,000, okay? You have a chiv to pay 500, and you have a chiv to pay 500.
Mishal Shalom.
So Bezin goes and Bezin Paskins. They didn't just Paskins. The Mishnah Gemara here teaches an incredible insight that there is a two-step process in Sanhedrin. Number one, guilty. Number two, the penalty phase, how much money do you owe? It can be very obvious. It's very obvious, $1,000. Even though it's very obvious, you're not chayiv until the Bezin says 500, 500, until Bezin says $1,000. The second court today, they first determine if you're guilty, and then they determine how much you have to pay, what is going to be the penalty. Sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it's pasha, but even though it's pasha, it still is called a penalty phase, where there's a discretion to the judge to decide how much money you're going to have to pay. And so here there was a psak halacha of 500. So then, time later, they run away before they pay the money. And then later on, the guy comes in the court and he says, you know what, I want to confess. Bezin says, that wait, they will mechayiv me $500. So here I am. I'm here to pay. Here's cash, $500. Bezin says, thank you very much. I'll take the cash. And they're going to give the cash to the person. So what's the chid? That's what it means over here in the Gemara. What's the chiddush? The chiddush is that maybe you may think that you only have to pay your $500 if your fellow pays his $500. Since he escaped, and since he's not so generous to do teshuva and to confess the $500, maybe you don't have to pay your $500 because he's not paying his $500. Kamashman,
you have to pay yours.
Meshal fi chalakas. So we learn a lot of yisaydis over here. So that's the Gemara. Look at the Mishnah over here. It says Ella. Look at the Mishnah. It's three lines before the Mishnah. Ella bo'aymer hayadnu v'huzmu. We testified and we became edim zaymin bezin plani. And here are the key words v'chiyavnu, v'chiyavnu mamain. There was also a penalty phase in the Bezna. So Sal Gamina Kavan, since the Lchavilay Motzi Mchayevle, since he escaped, he ran away, who knows where he is now. He's now on the slopes in Switzerland. He's having a good time. So therefore, Iunamulay Mchayev, so therefore I should have to pay either. Why should I have to pay? My friend over here is having a good time. He's enjoying a pina colada in Hawaii, sitting there on the beach waiting for Obama to come and check up on his birth certificate. Kamash Malan, we do not say this and therefore you have to pay your $500. Okay, that's the Maskan. That's the end of the first Mishnah. Congratulations on what we learned.
Thank you.
We learned the Gemara in one Mishnah, a very short Mishnah. I tell you, you say it. I know nothing. I know, but I get this sense that the first staff of every Masechta is always very hard. Check it out. Check it out. Kemat, every Masechta, the first staff, is unusually difficult. Brachos, the first half of Masechta Brachos, wow, that's hard stuff. This first half of Masechta Makos is hard stuff. The first half always is a nesoyin to get to the first half. Not everyone makes it just the first half.
You never do, because it always starts on that day.
Okay. Next, Me'idin Anu, you know the Meisel, the Satmerov. The Satmerov.
Himself?
The Satmerov, he went, and after the war, he went, and the people of Balabatim, he said, you know, let's have a shear. Let's have a shear. So they got together a whole bunch of Balabatim, all the survivors from the Holocaust, they got the Shem Chazik them, and they came to the shear the first night, and the whole first night he just sat and schmoozed with them, asking them about the schmoozing with his Hasidim. And he did this the second night and the third night. So one of the Balabatim says, Rebbe, we came here for a shear. You've asked the shear, the Gemara is open. How come we haven't learned one word the last few nights? So he said, we did. We learned Daf Aleph. We have to get to know each other. We have to mechazik each other. What happened after the war? You have to learn that was daf. Is it a gvaldige story? Gvaldige
off
story.
The charts.
Wasn't it kedai to come just for that story?
Yes.
Even
Where'd
though
you
we
hear
didn't
it?
Understand. I read that somewhere in a book. I don't know. I read it in one of these books.
Very nice.
Next, now we go to the next mishnah. Now, this is a very hard mishnah. It's not really so hard. Just meet and be punished. Shagir shesish a man. The two witnesses testified that so and so he divorced his wife. Lemay nafkamina. He does not have to pay the ksuba. V'loy nasan lo ksuba. So he divorced his wife. He did not. He's not giving ksuba. How do you know that? How can you say?
We didn't.
V'loy nasan. How do you know? That's a very pelting thing. How do you know? How can you testify the person what he did not do? You can testify what a person did do. How can you testify what a person did not do? This is a very shtak akasha. How do you know what a person did not do? For whatever reason, we have some way of knowing from the moment he divorced his wife. We were with him. We watched him. We were like a hawk. We watched him every single second, and never did he pick up his check, pick up a pen, to write a check to his wife. Okay, he's under surveillance.
What do you mean we don't know? You can always ask the wife. Did you get your
what?
Suit? You can ask the wife.
Oh, come on.
So
that's the obvious answer.
No, I don't think it's a raya. That's not a raya. He's a very star kash of a v'le'nosla kisubasa. He was there with him from the first moment. Fact. So the Gemara says, "What is it now?" Turns to Edim Zaymimim. So now they have to. So what are the? So how much money do they have to pay for lying? For lying and saying that he did not pay the ksuba. Who's the loser when it comes to a ksuba? There, who's the loser? So the chor, you would say the wife is the loser, right? The wife, but they're not testifying about the wife. Let's see. The wife lost out on a ksuba. But wait a minute, who says he would pay the ksuba? There's no guarantee. Who will die first? Will the man die first? Will the wife die first? If the man dies first, then there is no ksuba. If the wife dies...
But he divorced already.
What?
He divorced her. That's why he's mechuyev.
All right, so but now they're liars. So what do they try to do to this fellow? They're trying to cause them to pay the ksuba.
Exactly.
They're trying him to pay the ksuba.
No, he did divorce her.
They testified, the two witnesses testified, they testified...
Both things.
They testified that he divorced her, and he did not pay the ksuba. So what did he try to do? He tried to force this person to pay, let's assume now...
Did he divorce her or did he not divorce her?
He testified that he did divorce her.
But in actuality...
It's a lie.
He never divorced her.
But the guy is not chayef.
So where's the get?
What?
Where's the get?
Bezin destroys the get because... That's halacha. Halacha is the best.
Until the ksuba is paid, they don't just destroy the get.
But they have a receipt or something.
They have a receipt.
Document.
Yeah. The receipt got lost. I don't know all the details. You're asking very cautious. The guy over here, two witnesses testify. Just because your wife
is dead, she went to Dina Khair as soon as it's...
You're right. There are a lot of kashas. But let's make it very... Whatever the case is, I don't know the answer to all the questions. But basically, is he testified that he divorced, this man divorced his wife, and therefore he now has to pay ksuba. So therefore he's coming to the mechayev of this man to pay a ksuba. It turns out now that the witnesses are liars. They're liars. So
he
the witnesses...
He never divorced her.
So therefore the man does not owe a ksuba. So they denied him... They were trying to make him pay a ksuba when really he has no obligation to pay the ksuba. How much the ksuba? Let's say for argument's sake, it's 100 zuz. We're going to use we're going to use the number of 100 zuz. Let's say it's an almana, but just for sake of simplicity, or 100 zuz, even though really it's 200. But let's just use the number 100 zuz. Fine. So now the halai. So the more safer, they try to cause them a loss. They try to cause this man a loss of 100 zuz. No, they didn't. Because this man anyway would have had to pay 100 zuz at some point in time. There's a possibility. We don't know who's going to die first. Maybe.
It's not now.
What?
They made him try to pay it now.
So what? This is a very important principle. Time is not a factor when it comes to the dinim manus. This is, we think about secular court. You think about the secular court.
So then as soon as a person gets married, yes, you have to give the $100 to each.
What? No, he doesn't. He doesn't give $100 to each.
He's mechuyif to her.
No, only have to give the money only in the case that he divorces her.
So eventually he's going to die. So yeah,
but maybe she will die. She might die. There's no guarantee. If she will die, then he never has to pay the 100 zuz. But there's a possibility that either he will die first from his estate, the money has to be deducted, or he will divorce her. Not every marriage ends, you know, some marriages end in divorce. So therefore, since there is a possibility that he will divorce her, and if he divorces her, then he will have to pay. So therefore, how can we say that the witness is trying to pay, make him pay something that he would otherwise not pay? That's not so. This man, his marriage on the rocks, this man may have eventually have had to pay the 200 zuz no matter what. So therefore, why should we make the witnesses pay 100 zuz?
It's
only a suffix. So why should we make them pay 100 zuz? So therefore, the halav haloi, the mission says haloi behabein hayom ben lamachar. There is a possibility that maybe today, maybe tomorrow, soif alitin lak subasa. Maybe anyway he'll have to pay. Therefore, they did not try to cause him a loss. So therefore, what do we do in this situation? Tomorrow, so we have a lamish, a mishnah, and the mishnah is subject to a machlekes in the gemara. This, some want to say, is the hardest part of the mesecta. It's not really so hard. The hard things in the mesecta. The only we evaluate. Kama adam roitz alitin b'ksubasa shel zo. How much could a woman sell the ksuba for? If she would become a widow, or she would become divorced, then she would collect the ksuba, but if she were to die first, the husband will inherit her. Now let's read one more line next on everything, then we'll read everything inside. I'm read the kates. What does that mean exactly? Amar Rav Chista the Baal. Rav Nosson says Beisha, I agree to the shita of Rav Nosson, Beisha, but I'm telling you one thing, he's not coming to argue, he's just coming to say, by the way, you should be aware, Uvik Subasa, you don't have only the Ksuba, you don't have to take into consideration anything else. What does all this mean? What exactly does this mean? So let's explain right now outside. Outside, then we're going to read the Rashi inside, Mila Bamila. This is a hard thing. It takes a Rebbe in 8th grade. We learned this, it takes him a month to explain this. And we're going to do it over here in three minutes. Okay, so here we go. A woman is married. A woman is married and she has in her hand a Ksuba. It's on the wall. You should know it's a very good zach to have the ksuba on the wall. It's a gval gazach, because at least you know where it is. Because my father was a rav, and I'm telling you, come on, every bala boss of the shul, he wrote for them a ksuba the irchasa, a ksuba that's lost. They all lined up, they all came, I'm not joking, over the years, come on, every bala boss came, I know where the ksuba is, so you have to go get witnesses, you have to print it up. I have to print up all the balabatim. I would print up on the computer, I would fill in their names, print it up, and we had witnesses, and for every bala boss, why do you have to come to the rav? If you had the ksuba hanging on the wall, you wouldn't have this problem. So therefore, I'm telling you, people who make fun of having some on the wall, it's not a bit, not should not make fun of it. It's a gval de gazach. What does it say in the ksuba? It says in the ksuba, in case of death or divorce, I owe you money. It's not a nice thing to write on the wall, to have hanging up on the wall. In case of death or divorce, I owe you money. But at least if it's on the wall, at least you know where it is. You're not living in sin. It's a gval gezach. Okay, now, let's go weiter. A woman has in her possession a ksuba. Therefore, now that she collected the ksuba, well, there's a possibility, maybe and maybe not. If the husband will die, or the husband will divorce her, then she will collect. Therefore, she can sell it to someone. I have a ksuba that entitles me to $100.
Yes.
I want to sell
if
the husband dies. So therefore, let me go take it now. I want to buy a nice piece of jewelry, so let me sell it to my next door neighbor. And I'll tell her, listen, in the event that your husband dies or divorces me, you'll get the money. So give me bucks. So there's, I'm not giving you $100 because who says your husband will die or your husband will divorce you? And who says it'll be today? Maybe it'll never happen. Maybe it'll be in 20 years. So therefore, you know what? There's a chance, it's a risk. This is a risk.
Bucks.
So therefore, I'm going to give you $40. Okay, let's use that number, $40. Kedai, the risk. The risk is $40. I'm willing to pay you $40. Okay, very good. So she takes in her possession $40, and it's worth it. She has now $4 cash on the spot. She cashed in, and in the event the risk now has been transferred to the next person, in the event it's death or divorce, then he will be able to collect. He'll make a profit of $60.
Now the neighbor can have a ksuv on his wall.
What?
Now the neighbor can have a ksuv on his wall.
Exactly. It's a risk. So therefore, it's a risk. Therefore, he paid $40 for the potential to make $60. He may then get $100, and that $100 is going to be a $60 profit. Okay, that's what he bought. Now, so here's the chiddush. The chiddush over here is the husband can also buy it. In other words, the husband can say to his wife, "Listen, wife, you know, who knows? Maybe one day I'm going to divorce you. Maybe one day I'm going to divorce you, or he'll die first. So you know what? Let's take the risk. I will give you the $40." I'm going to give you the $40, and you give me back the ksuba, and now I have no ksuba, I have no obligation, to pay you ksuba. That's a very big chiddush, because Chazal didn't like this idea, because Chazal said the only reason why a person should have a ksuba should take kal levein of loitz. It's a very big kashan rashi. I don't know the answer. A man is not allowed to live without a ksuba, because if he doesn't have a ksuba, the supper is no good. He'll just say, "Wife, that's it, you're out. Here's the get, goodbye, good rinse." But if he has a ksuba, b'zman hazeh is about, I think, close to $50,000, maybe even more. So it's a lot of money to divorce his wife, because the supper is no good. The man's going to think twice before he divorces his wife. So it's a very big chiddush that we allow the husband to buy the ksuba. It's a tremendous chiddush that Rashi is saying this. I don't know the answer why we do, but more saying the Chazal allowed this. So the husband gives his wife $40, and now the husband is betting on it, betting that he'll come, he'll make out of this, he'll make a profit $60, because he won't have to pay the $100, so he profited $60. So therefore, here's the Gemara's issue. Two witnesses testify that this man divorced his wife and he has to pay the ksuba. So therefore, how much loss did he cause this man? So therefore, some say he caused his wife a loss. He caused this man a loss of $40. Period. Why? Because that is the value of the ksuba from her perspective. From her perspective, it's worth. No, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, that's not the end, I'm sorry. I told you two different things. Husband can buy it, okay. So therefore, let me just give you one more piece of information, then we'll put everything together. Now, there's another possibility. Possibility is, the husband says, "Listen, I have in my hand a ksuba, I may divorce, but if I may die, and I have to pay for my estate $100, or pay if I'm alive, divorce $100, you know what? Let me sell my obligation to someone else. Let me say to my next..." The husband says to my next door neighbor, "Listen, you give me..." Here, I'm giving you... Now, here, you have to clarify. You have one more piece of information. A lot of information. When the husband writes the ksuba, he designates a piece of land to be the ksuba. It's not just Stami has money in the bank. He has a piece of karka. This piece of karka has been designated to be the payment for the ksuba. So he says to his next door neighbor, how much is this piece of karka worth? The piece of karka is worth $100. Now the husband's a very big advantage. The husband is that while he's married, who gets the benefit from the karka? That's worth $100. That's what the isha gives. That's the whole definition. Is what the isha brings into the marriage.
That also plays in over here.
That's the third opinion. That's not going to pay in. Let's just focus on the man. The man marries a woman. He marries the woman, he writes in the ksuba, we don't do this, but let's say he writes in the ksuba, "This piece of property is going to be designated for your ksuba. The piece of property is worth exactly $100, but it's an advantage because every single year, the property produces fruit. The property produces income, it produces $25 a year, whatever it is. So, but it's designated to pay the ksuba." So the husband says to his next neighbor, "Listen, I have a piece of property, it's worth $100, I'm going to sell it to you. It's worth $100, but I'm going to sell it to be after this, there's a risk. The risk is if I divorce my wife, you're going to have to relinquish the land and give the land to my wife. But if she dies first, then it's home free. You're going to be able to keep the land forever. So you have to understand there's a risk. I'm selling you this piece of land. You may end up having this land forever and ever, Or it may very well be that if I get angry at my wife and I divorce my wife, or if I die first, then you're going to have to give it up, and the food and the money that you're going to pay for this piece of land, you're going to lose. You're giving me money to own the land, but that might be a loss of money for you, but it may come out that it's an advantage. You're getting a very great discount. You're only paying a certain amount of money, and it may very well be that you'll be able to keep this land forever and ever. How much will a person pay? So let me give you numbers. The man next door neighbor will be willing to pay $50. So in reality, he's going to pay, you'll see what I mean, relative to $50.
Because yes, why? If it's value.
Yeah, let's just say, I'm just giving you a number for now. I'll show you why I'm getting that number. Just make believe now, $50. Why? It's a very great opportunity. Every single year, I'm going to be able to benefit, no matter what. Who knows? In a couple of years, I can make back all the money. I can make back $50 very quickly. And also, I may be able to keep it. There's a small chance I'm going to lose it. So therefore, for losing it, I'll only give you 50, I'm going to give you $50. Okay, very good. Now let's go to the other case. I just said it before. The woman, she has a coming to her. And the woman is very weak, because the woman has now nothing. She has in her possession a piece of paper. She doesn't have anything. She doesn't have the land itself. She has just a piece of paper. There's a possibility that maybe one day she'll be able to possess the land. She's selling that possibility to her next door neighbor. How much can she get for selling that piece of paper? Not $50. $40. She's not getting the fruit, and also besides not getting the fruit, she doesn't have anything in her possession at this moment in time. It's mechuser goyvaina. It's lacking collection. She first has to go to court to repossess, to collect the property. So therefore, man can sell the ksuba, the land designated for the ksuba, and she can sell the potential to receive. Which one has more value? When he sells the ksuba, how much can he sell it for?
$50.
For the land. How much can she sell the piece of paper for? $40.
Maybe.
That's a reality. Hey, 30, let's make believe. But whatever the point is, the amount that he can sell it for is more than the amount. That's how the number he gives of the M6, just for example. Whatever he can sell it for is more than what she can sell it for. Got it?
Yep.
He can sell the land and she can sell the piece of paper. However, when the witnesses testify, here's the catch. When the witnesses testify that this man has divorced his wife and he has not yet paid the ksuba, mm-hmm. so that we don't care about her, she's
right.
irrelevant.
Right.
They're trying to make him pay.
Right.
What loss? They're losing him the remainder. If we look at it from her perspective, she can sell the piece of paper for $40. Who can she sell this piece of paper to? To her husband. She can sell the piece of paper to her husband for $40. The same way she can sell the piece of paper to someone in the neighbor, she can sell the same piece of paper back to her husband. So how much is the husband going to lose? Is going to lose now? $60. Because why? The remainder. The husband could have until this guy, the witnesses come and testify that he divorced his wife, the husband, if he wanted to, could have sold the piece of paper to his wife for $40. Could have bought it from his wife for $40. And then what would have happened? And then it could have been that the wife will die first. And if the wife will die first, how much will he gain? $60. If he would buy it from his wife, and the wife would die, I'll put out a hit on his wife, called Mafia, and his wife will die first, I have now paid $40, and now the wife dies, I don't have to pay the whole ksuba, the $100 I don't have to pay. So how much have I saved? I've saved myself $60.
Correct.
So it turns out there are two ways to look at what the witnesses have caused this poor man. They walk into court and they testify, this man divorced his wife and he has to pay the ksuba. Until this false report has been recorded, this man, there are two things that could have happened. Either he could have sold the ksuba, the karka, to someone else and cashed in $50, and now he can't do that anymore. Because now he has to pay $100 because the witness testify also so the man lost the opportunity to sell for $50. I could have cashed in $50, or there's another possibility. He could have bought the ksuba from his wife for $40,
and saved himself $60.
I don't see why we're going so deep. Just see Pashit. We tried to make this guy pay $100.
But anyway, he would have to pay the $100. That's exactly what it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, we didn't cause you a loss of $100 because anyway, there's a real possibility. Anyone would have to pay the $100. What? Right now, we're telling you, you have to pay $100 today. Hayoyim, $100 today. Is that called a loss to you? You would anyway.
$100, yeah.
What? No, but the time would come down the line, maybe in a week from now, maybe in a month from now, maybe in a year from now, you would anyway have to pay the $100. Anyway, you have to pay the $100. Now, you have to say something. The money, time.
If they wouldn't have been caught as Edom Zayim, this guy would have had a shell out.
But the Mishnah says, hello. Look at the words of the Mishnah. Hello, hayoyim, hello, bein, hayoyim, bein, lamachar. You have to say something. Time is not an issue.
You're right. It's
time is not an issue. Eventually, the man would anyway have to pay the $100. The possibility. So don't blame us for making him pay the $100 today, because in a week from now, in a month from now, in a year from now, he anyway would have to pay the $100. Maybe, yeah, maybe not.
So you want to take that out of the equation and look at what the value is.
So look at the value. So therefore, we have to look at the value. Okay. So there are two types of value. The value is the man can take the piece of karka that's designated to pay the ksum, and he can sell it to another person. How much would he have been able to acquire? $50. The value of the ksuba the man had was $50. Now that I'm selling the now you're causing me a loss. I could have sold it for $50, and now I can't sell it for $50. So therefore, you're causing me a loss of $50. Or we can say another way to look at it is that the man could have bought the ksuba from his wife. How much would the wife sell it to the husband less? For $40. So the man is paying $40 to save himself $60. So the witnesses are causing him a loss of $60. So that's the machlokes. If you say shamin bibal, we look at it from the perspective, how much could he have sold the ksuba to someone else? He could have sold 60. It, he could have gained, he could have brought in, I could have acquired, I could 60. Have profited $50. Or do we say shamin biisha? It doesn't mean you can profit today $50, because I'm not paying, I'm not getting, I'm paying $40 to save myself $60. That is the machlokes. Let me do it on the Gemara. So Kates at Shaman, or how do we make the valuation? Amar Vachista, Babal. The valuation is I could right now cash in, sell this ksuba on the market, I can get $50. The piece of karka that is designated for the ksuba, I can cash in today $50. Rav Nosson by Oishyamar, Beisha. The Isha, she could sell the ksuba. How much could she sell the ksuba for less? She can only sell the potential to collect the ksuba for $40. It's less than what he can sell the ksuba for, because he has it in his possession. She can sell it for less, but she can also sell it to her husband. So he will pay for the ksuba $40. And how much will that save him down the line? $60. It's going to be $60. Oh, now, Parapapa says, Beisha. I like the sheet of Rav Nosson's Gevaldik Pshat. I like, therefore, $60. The Edim Zaymim have caused him a loss of $60. And then he says something which is unrelated, according to Rashi, according to the Mufarshim. He's not coming to argue, he's not coming to qualify a statement, he's just coming to make a very simple statement. And he says, Uvik Subasa, which means when a man, two witnesses testify that Reuven has divorced his wife, they're causing him the loss of Nichse Meloik. What's Nichse Meloik? Nichse Meloik is when a man marries a woman. A woman has assets. If she has assets, she has land. She brings into the marriage these assets. Under whose name are these assets? Under her name. She owns these assets. It does not become his property. It's hers. She has her own bank account. However, the halach is that any profits accrue to her assets go to him. Meloik means to pluck. If she has a piece of land and the land produces produce, he's permitted to pluck the produce and take that produce and put it in his own pocket and go out and have a good time and not give his wife anything from those profits. It's her assets. The value of the land is her. She gets to keep the land, but the profits that come into the land, that goes to him. So now when they testify that he has divorced his wife, they are denying him the profits. So why don't we go and we make the Edom Zayim pay? If this, let's say the land that she owns brings in every single year $1 million. So we should say, look, you've denied me $1 million. I was living off the profits of the land. The land has oil reserves, and the oil every year brings $1 million worth of oil. So therefore, you denied me $1 million per year. Let's go talk to a statistician. How long will he live? What's the life expectancy? V'chulu v'chulu. You caused me this loss. No, there is no requirement to pay nichsei milay because the witnesses can say, we didn't know that she has nichsei malog. We don't know what her assets are. When we testify that this man has divorced his wife and he did not pay the ksuba is something which every single Jew in the world has to pay. That's a given. A ksuba is something which is aleph-based. But nichsei malog,
we don't know.
So you can't make us pay for something that we have no way of knowing. There's no website we can go to type it and see what assets she has. So there's no way of us knowing. Therefore, you cannot be mechayiv us to pay for the loss of the nichsei malog. Edom Zayim, because the something is teaching us a very powerful yisoid. You cannot be mechayiv Edom Zayim with something which they did not know about. You can only be mechayiv them to pay something which they know about. The ksuba is something which everyone in the world knows about. Therefore, you mechayiv them to pay. Okay, this is the Gemara in a nutshell. This is a very yisoid we just read over here. Where it takes totally in eighth grade.
Three months
to learn the Gemara. We just did it in 2 minutes. Now let's see the Rashi inside. Just the chaz of the yisoid. It's a very yisoid thing. We're saying Gemara. Ketzat shaman kloimar. Whenever Rashi says kloimar, it is a stop sign. It means I'm out to tell you now is not to be translated literally into the Gemara. You're not going to be able to translate what I'm telling you in the Gemara. You have to add it. You have to embellish the words of the Gemara with an enormous amount of interpretation. And if Rashi says kloimar, that's always a meaning. Always means that you can bet your bottom buck that other Rishonim disagree with Rashi's interpretation. Whenever kloimar, you're embellishing the Gemara. It's not lufi pshutoi shel mikra, and it's an embellishment, and that leaves open the possibility to provide an entirely different interpretation, which Rashi talked about at the bottom. He does, which we're not going to do that part of Rashi, but this part of Rashi. Rashi will kloimar. Makom mechayv l'meisa. What are the ways we have to pay? The yesh lifter mishasenu b'lishnei tzedadim. You can interpret the Mishnah two different ways. Ketzat. Both the man and the woman have rights in the ksuba. He mitzapa she'im yamus o yigoshan. She can't wait, Rashi says. She anticipates. She's looking forward, namaste, like Mashiach. Achakalei b'chol yom she'yavet. She's a mitzapa. She's yearning for the day when the husband divorces her or he dies. That's what Rashi says. He mitzapa. This is mamish, the course in marriage counseling.
Wow.
He mitzapa she'im yamus. She can't wait. If he will die, o yigor shena, tigba eskula, she'll collect $100. The who mitzapa? He can't wait for her to die. It's a good shidduch. Parashas Chayesara. It's the parashah of shidduch. And looking over here, parashah of shidduch, parashah Chayesara. And the who mitzapa, he is yearning, she'im tamus b'chayav, that if she will die b'chayav in his lifetime, Yiroshan, then he will inherit her. So each one is waiting to see who's going to die first, who's going to be the one that's going to be able to collect the ksuba. So it says in Rashi, who has more power, who has more value in this piece of paper? Yofe koyach zichusoi. He is in the upper position. Nikoyach zichuso. Why? Shul oichel peyos vakarka. Because he, in the meantime, he eats the fruit. Since there's a piece of land that has been designated for the ksuba, he gets to eat the fruit. Also, he has in his possession the land. He has in his possession, but she has not yet collected the assets, so she has to go to court to get the assets. Now, the imbo limkar laachar zo zuchusveik. If she would come to sell her rights, the possibility to collect. If each one would try to sell their rights on the open market, who would get more money? He would get one. He would get $50, and she would get $40. Now the Mishnah says we evaluate how much she would collect. That's what it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah here says, the Mishnah focuses it on her perspective. That doesn't make any sense though. The Rashi says that doesn't make any sense because the witnesses here are coming to testify against him. They're not coming to testify against her. They're coming to testify against him that he divorced her and he has an obligation to make the ksuba. That the $40. They're not coming to deny her zuchus. They are coming to testify against the man. They're not coming to testify against her. They're coming to testify against him to make him pay the ksuba right now. So the yesh lo emar. So what then does it mean in the Mishnah when the Mishnah says zchus sveika? The yesh amdochi kamar shamin zchus sveika kam odem moitzel litin b'ktoivas hanos shalah. The also that $40 you don't pay, you pay the remainder. Why do you pay the remainder? Because the husband can also buy it from her on the open market. The husband can pay $40 to save himself $60. The also lo yishalmu. But what do you pay instead? The chol hashor yishalmu. You pay the remainder, the $60. Shekol hashor hoyim afsino so beidusim, because they're causing him a loss. And now you have to add into the parish. Rashi doesn't say this explicitly, but Rashi, that's why it's, Rashi is very difficult, because he can buy it. Okay, because he, if he wants, he can buy it for $40. Aval oisam dam lo hayum afsidno so shrei gamata kishuzmu im hayse roitz lamachra yitem lo haba. He does take the same, so he does say it. Shrei gam ata now kishuzmu. Now when they became Edom Zaimim, so now when we restore, everything back to the way the reality, the way it is true, im hayse roitz lamachra, if she wanted to sell it, yitem lo haba. The husband can buy it. The husband can buy it for $40. Okay, so therefore that's what it means. Isha, you evaluate how much she can sell it for. She can sell it for $40, and he can buy it from her for $40. He'll pay $40 to save himself $60. So therefore, the Edim Zaimim have to pay him $60 because this is the loss that they caused him. They caused him the potential to save himself $60. Oy, Dilmo, do we say Zuchus Sveikoy Komar Masnisan? When it says the Mishnah, how much she can sell the ksuba for, it really means, we have to interpret it loosely, it's a little bit of a stretch, this Rashi, it means how much he can sell the ksuba for, and when we describe it from her perspective, but we really mean it from his perspective, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. That's much. We don't require him to pay $60, we require him to pay $50. Because maybe when they're not in Zaymim, maybe he'll die macha. She'll collect everything. Because she did not sell it to him.
Someone else
bought it. How much she can sell it for? So okay, whatever. I'm not going to go through Rashi and go through the tape forever to go figure out all the exact introduction. But that's the basic idea. That is the basic idea in the how the first to explain this. Rashi is a little bit difficult. You have to really fit the words in the end of the Rashi to really understand this. But that's the basic. You study this Rashi case of Shomlam Rav Chista Baal. The Baal means how much he can sell it for. Rav Nosson Baroshi Amar Beisha, how much she can sell it for. And meaning he can buy it from her for that amount of money, which is less, difference. And then it's a difference. Amara Papa, our Papa Paskins, Beisha, we go to Isha, how much she can sell it for, because that's really what the Mishnah says, and he can buy it from her, and therefore he can pay $40 to save himself $60, and that's how much the Edim Zem have to pay. They have to pay $60. She can sell it less than what he can sell it for, because she's Mechusar Gavaina, and there is no Paris. For $40, he would then be able to shoot and sell to him, and therefore he would save himself $60 potentially, and that's how much the Edom Zem have to pay, $60. Period. And then the last thing is Uvik Subas, as explained, by the way, he says, you only have to pay $60. Don't go start making calculations that in this particular marriage, this man had Nichsei Malaik. She brought into the marriage valuable assets which produced payrolls, and therefore they, by testifying that they called, that they divorced her, they didn't have to pay the Nichsei Malaik. No, we do not deal with the Nichsei Malaik. Look in Rashi. Rashi says, "Amar Papa Beisha." This is the last middle line. Shamin Lavanu Krav Nasan. uvik subasa lo yishamuloi elo ha'oidei fik subasa, just the remainder. But there's no aladamim halalu avaloi nichsei muloik shalom. No one's not come to argue, just saying new halacha, the af al pi shaf nichsei muloik ha'yim avsid noisa beidusim memulacho peris b'chayecha umilirashesa b'moisa ein mishamim. Why? D'yecholim loimar, the witnesses can say, Anu lo he anu el al kisubasa. We only testified about the ksuba. V'lo yodanu shahayu lo nichsein. We did not know that she has nichsein mulag. Therefore, that is what? That is the shita of our papa. Okay? That concludes the shita of the Gemara. It's a very hard Gemara. This is the basic Yisayda. It's good. Clear?
Got it? That's a bell.
Good. Okay, now we go to a new Mishnah. Okay, a little easier. We test for you owe someone $100. You owe one thousand zuz, and you got to pay up now 30 days. We testified the due date on the loan is 30 days. And the person says, "You edim zim, you liars! The due date is not 30 days. The due date is whoimer because you got to shun him. The due date is in 10 years." So therefore, the witness are trying to deny him the use of the money for 10 years. $1,000, you put it in an investment fund.
Nine years, 11 months.
What is the expectation? How much money can you make in an investment in this money? So therefore, now they're Edim Zonim. So now the question is, how much do the Edim Zonim have to pay? So the Gemara says you have to go talk to these financial investors and talk to them how much is the value that a person can make. How much would a person want to have money to play around with for an additional 9 years and 11 months? You figure out, you got to go talk to a financial planner and talk to them and tell them that they'll put a dollar amount on it. How much a person want to have the rights to play around with this money for this amount of time? And that's the amount of money that he has to pay, the Edom's going to have to pay to this person who they lied to. Problem. 10 years. Guy over here says that my loan is really for 10 years. What are you talking about, 10 years? 10 years, Shemitah is Mishami. You owe nothing. Well, I have a loan for 10 years. What happens?
Prizbul.
When you come to Shemitah, so let's say there is no Prizbul. Prizbul is a modern thing. Prizbul is not necessarily an ideal thing to do. But let's say this is Misham, so therefore you caused me a loss of $1,000. Because since loan was for 10 years, since the MS is, loan was for 10 years, so and so, by the time it's 10 years, I don't got a penny. I don't owe the guy one penny, one red penny. So you're causing me a loss of 1,000 zuz. You're not just causing me a loss of the ability to use the money for 10 years. You're causing me a loss of 1,000 zuz because once you pass through Shemitah, I don't have to pay him one penny. So he holds, so first we have to get the halacha. Now that this mission is obviously very relevant to the halacha. What does he say? He's a very chiddush. That's it. Too bad. Why? Here's a very chiddush. Now let me just tell you backwards. Let me tell you the more backwards and you see. According to one man, the Yomar, if you lend a person a loan for 10 years, Shmita is not Mishamit. It's not Mishamit. Why not? It's not yet due. The loan, the only time Shmita is Mishamit, here's the Yisad, is when the loan is due before Shmita. It's past due. You have a loan, the loan is due, Stam loan is due in 30 days. Let's say the loan is due, never loan is due. So therefore, people are late in paying off their loans. You're late in paying off your bills. So then, if you're late, and now it's Shmita, wow, Shmita now has canceled the debt. But let's say you're not late, the loan is not yet due. So then, Shmita is not Mishamit.
Uh-huh.
What's the lamnis? Because the lamnis says there are two dinim. There's one called loyigois. Loyigois means you're not allowed to press for payment. And then there's a halach of Shemot, that the loan is canceled. So according to the question, are these two statements, these two halachas, tali zeh b'zeh? The only time we say Shemot, the loan is canceled, is if there is an application of lo yigos. Torah warns you, don't demand payment. But if there's no application of lo yigos, then there's no din Shemot. So if the loan is due in 10 years, let's say year 7, let's say year 5 was Shemitah, for argument's sake. In year 5, is the person in the matziv where he can say, Yigois, I want to collect. And the Torah now says, no, lo yigois, don't collect. No, you're not in a matziv of lo yigois, because the loan is not yet due. You only can be in lo yigois, that you only can be in the matzah when the Torah says don't demand payment
when you, if, demand payment.
When you can't demand payment. But you can't demand payment because the loan is not yet due.
Good.
So therefore, since there is no lo yigois in the Shemitah year, so there's no din shamot.
Okay.
When the Torah says lo is the land of Lakan, it's toluy ze bezeh.
Okay.
So gval the loophole. So therefore, you want to send lend someone money, just make sure the date prior to your document, the date when the loan is due, is after Shemitah, and then you're home free. So that's exactly what Shmuel says. He says that it's toluy ze. He says that Shmuel says Shmuel. I told you backwards. So Shmuel says, no. I don't agree to that principle because I hold, this is the way he explains the art scroll, very good, the art scroll, explains this note, and it's because I hold and not totally zeb zeh. Everything that I told you, Shmuel disagrees with. The other man, the next few ones, we'll say that like I told
Shmuel
you.
Says that it's
not totally zeb zeh. Just because in the year of Shemitah, you're not subject to lo yigois, because the loan is not yet due, so if it's not yet due, you can't be subject to a violation. It doesn't make a difference. Once you pass through Shemitah, automatically Shemot, the loan, Shemot means canceled. The loan is canceled. Therefore, it's not totally zeb zeh. If you make a loan, the loan is due after Shemitah is over, too bad. How do we paskin? The Gemara over here, paskin, Stalin is mut, you can collect. Let's see. He holds, I think we don't pass like this. We pass and you really can collect. I think so. Even though in the year of Shemitah, when you come to the seventh year of Shemitah, you're now the seventh year, is there a command? Does the Torah command me, lo yigois? No. There's no, the Torah is not addressing, the Torah is not speaking to me. Why not? Because the loan is not due.
Right.
The Torah only speaks to a person to whom the loan is due, and the Torah says, you, even though the loan is due, I'm telling you, lo yigois, don't demand payment. The Torah is not talking to me, because the loan is not yet due. So, the avagav the hash, the shmu, I disagree with you, the avagav even the hash, lo yigois, there is lo yigois, it doesn't make a difference. Soif osi lide lo yigois, since at the end will be, after when 10 years come, then you're going to come to collect, then it's too late because the Shamot, when it says the word Shamot, the loan is canceled, it's automatically canceled in the year of Shemitah, regardless of the fact that the lo yigois does not apply. They're not totally zeh bezeh. Fine. If that's the case, I have a kasha of the Mishnah, because what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says, Masiv, the Avi's kasha of Kahana, says in the Mishnah, I'm din, kama, the Mitzvah, the Levi, the Levi, the Levi, the Levi, the Bein litein mikan v'ad eser l'alam yom, bein litein mikan v'ad eser shanim, v'yamar t'ashvi'es mishamtos like Shmuel, kulinami bo'ay shlomi. What's the evaluation? We don't need financial planners.
The whole thing is canceled.
$1,000 Amarava, not a kash. This is what you said before. Amarava, hagmaskin b'malva l'mashkoin. Either there's a mashkoin, there's collateral. The rule is if there's collateral, then there is no, then Shmita's not mishamit. It's already collected. Shmita is only mishamit in a situation where there is no collateral. If collateral has been taken, Shmita is not mishamit because the loan has been paid. If I have in my possession collateral, so it's not a loan. The loan, it's like a sale almost. The loan already has been paid. Or, the moiser, shtaroisav, lebezdin, or a prosbul. Okay, what is a prosbul? So here the Gemara reveals a yisoy that a prosbul is the pshat, you give over your loans to a court. Okay, that it's no longer a private collection. The prohibition of lo yigois is only private loan. A loan that's the tzibur, the bezdin is in charge of the loan, that is not subject to the laws of Shemitah, and that is what a prosbul is, and that's the case of the Mishnah, so Nela, you can be able to collect $1,000 no matter what. What's then the shayla? The shayla over here is you've lost the Eidim Sem, they denied you access to the money for 10 years. So the malva al mashkin of the shul lebezin. The tongue of the Mishnah, a malva is chaval al mashkin of a mishash lebezin, ain mishanitin, yinat, there's no din shmita. Ikadiyam, that ends this Gemara. Now the Gemara is reversed. Ikadiyam, some say, pumfakert. Ikadiyam, some say, I'm going to be done with shmuel, pumfakert. A malva is chaval al mashkin, ain shvias misham tosoi, shvias namishanit. Namisham, pumfakert. Why not? Oh, the avagav the osi lide lo yigois. Even though you will come one day to be lo yigois, hashta miho lo karina be lo yigois. Since right now there is no lo yigois,
since right now, at this moment in time, there is no, you're not subject in the year of Shemitah law, he goes, because the law is not Yadu. So, Mela, we do not apply Shemot. We do not apply Shemot, therefore the loan has not been cancelled. The loan has not been cancelled, therefore when the loan is in 10 years, the loan is due, you'll be able to collect. So in other words, the opposite of what we said before. What we said before is that if you go and you lend someone for 10 years, you're allowed to collect. When 10 years are up, you can collect your loan gezuntehet, but you pass to Shemitah. Why should the loan be cancelled? Because it says in the pasuk Shemot, Shemot is only applicable if there's also a prohibition of lo yigos. Since there is no lo yigos, because the loan is not yet due, there is no Shemot. So therefore, when 10 years over, I'm allowed to collect, the loan has not been due. Amen Afkahana. Oh, the Mishnah Taka says, because the Mishnah says when it comes to Edim Zaymimim,
yeah,
you need a financial planner. But when it comes to 1,000 zuz, you have to pay. You do have to, you know, that's not the issue. The money's not lost. Amen Afkahana, Afanan Tanima, it says in the Mishnah, I'm not going to have an opinion, but it says in the Mishnah, I'm not going to have an opinion, but it says in the Mishnah, I'm not going to have an opinion, but it says in the Mishnah, I'm not going to have an opinion, but it says in the Mishnah, I'm not going to have an opinion, but it says in the Mishnah, I'm not going to have an opinion, but it says in the Mishnah, I'm not going to have an opinion, but it says in the Mishnah, I'm not going to have an opinion, but it says in the Mishnah, I'm not going to have an opinion, but it says in the Mishnah, I'm not going to have an opinion, but it says in the Mishnah, I'm not going to have an opinion, but it says in the Mishnah, I'm not going to have an opinion, but it says in the Mishnah, I'm not going to have an opinion, but it says in the Mishnah, I'm not going to have an opinion, but it says in the Mishnah, I'm not going to have an opinion, but it says in the Mishnah, I'm not going to have an opinion, but it says in the Mishnah, I'm not going to have an opinion, but it says in
the Shemitah is not Meshamet. Good? Clear? Got it?
Isabel.
New Gemara. Now we go to the sugi of Masna Mashkos. A whole sugi, a lot of little sugi. This is why this Masechta is Gemur Dikus Masechta for Kindlach for 8th grade, because this Masechta is Mamish a Shas Masechta. I think only Ksubas is a Shas Masechta. Makos, every few lines in Naya sugi. Here's a whole sugi, no Shaykhis to Masechta Makos. A whole new sugi. Amar, we see the Torah Shemitah sugi, Prizbal sugi, on the sugi. Now we go learn a whole sugi of Masna Mashkos. Sorry, I'm going to do Mishmol. I'm not to lend you money, but I don't want Shemitah. We have our own set of rules over here, okay? We have under
Shechanach.
All Shechanach. The Torah is someone else. For us, Hamevin Yav, he knows all these private jokes. For us, we have a whole different Shechanach. I'm not sure to lend you doesn't make it a Shemitah, Mishametes, you know, even too bad for you. Leimor kasev shmuel master mashkas v'torah. Who? You mean master? V'chol master mashkas v'torah. Tonight, but you can't make conditions against what the Torah says. Oh, for itma, but it says that you can't do this. For itma, it says halacha itma ha'imel chaver al menash in lecha alay no. I know it's more than 1/6. If you're ripped off on Amazon more than Walmart, more than 1/6 of the price, right? So that you can go and you can go to Amazon and you can say I know. The going rate is less than more than a sixth. It's enough. So Rav and Rav says yesh lo yinavu in a vishmul shul say in lo yinavu. So you see it's a machleike, a mas na masha kasa b'tayra. So it ma'ala. So therefore, what is he teaching us over here? So the word kash over here is Shmuel holds a stira. Shmuel holds who said this halacha mas masha b'tayra, who masne is tonight bottle. It's bottle. But yeah. Shmuel over here says, but over here in this halach it says, Shmuel says, Ein loy olav oino. You can be masne. Astira in Shmuel. When it comes to Shemitah, Shmuel says that Tanai is bottle. When it comes to oino, Shmuel says Tanai is kayim. He says, Ein loy olav oino, which means Tanai is kayim. We have astira in Shmuel. No, we have astira in Shmuel. How are you going to find that Shmuel? Hayat ma'Allah, Allah, Amrav, Amrav, Anan. That was his name. Shmuel told me himself the answer is kasha. You have to nuance the way you express it. If you say almanash ein lucha alay ona ein loy love, if you say there is ona, the Torah says there is ona. I'm not coming to deny what's stated in the Torah. But between me and you, there's not going to be ona. That's not called mas demasha kosavitar. When it comes to dinim in moinais, when it comes to money matters, there's a lot of leeway. The whole principle of din de malchus dina is based upon the principle. When it comes to money, you can make your own. The Torah allows. So, but as long as you don't say, listen, there's some called oina. However, between me and you, I know this more, but that's what I want. I want to charge you an enormous amount of money because this chaviv, I have sentimental value, it's not worth it for me. You can do that. You're not going against the Torah. But if you say, I know in my Sefer Torah there's no I know. I took it out. I took a scissor and I cut out the Sefer Torah. That you can't do. So Amnash ain't boy I know.
There's no one on the Torah. You can't do that. Haray Yeshvayina. Hachinami here as well. I'm not Shaloy Tishmiteni Yibishvias. Ain't Shvias Misham Nathan. There's no Shmita. You can't do that. I'm not Shaloy Tishmiteni Shvias. There is Shmita. It's just that between me and you, I still want to make my own arrangements. And when it comes to new money, I want to make my own arrangements. It works. Ain't Shvias Misham Nathan. I'm not Shaloy Tishmiteni Shvias. To go say that there is no Shmita, period. Almanas. Here's the base. If you say there is Shemitah, but I want to make between me and you and our own financial arrangement, Bishvias. Shvias will come. Shvias Meshamit the ganze Welt. But for me and you, we're going to work outside of this framework. Then Ein Shvias Misham Tosai. But if you say Almanas Shaloi Tishmeteni Shvias, that there is no thing as Shvias. I deny what it says in the Torah that you can't do shvius misham tosa. It's mishamet. Halacha l'maisa, we don't pass on halacha l'maisa. You can't do the seed. Halacha l'maisa, you can't go. You can't even do this. You can come to shvius. It's very davachamor. You can't go say. You can't work around the Torah. You have to look at Shulchan Aruch how this works. But this is what Shmuel says. Fine. This is a sugi of Shmuel. Yes, I don't know halacha l'maisa bad. But this is Shmuel, and Shmuel is saying this principle. Vayit nu gemara. Tanu l'maisa. Amal v'schabev stam. New halacha, nay halacha, whole new sugah. I'm just telling you, v'chastam in rishal l'toivai. You cannot demand pachos milam yamenu yisay alone. Stam alone is 30 days. Only when you have a lot of paper. The loy of nish the torach the kasa shtar b'tzim mit losin yamen al bil val peh. Between me and you, from the witnesses, then law you can demand less. Even less than 30 days. The Gemara says, "Amalei Rav, no, you make him sick. My uncle Chavivi, is my beloved one. Is who's Chavivi? Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia was my uncle. My uncle Echad Amal Peir Shadech Amal Peir. 30 bucks, 30 days, 30 days. Tainam Yachem Amal Echad Chavivi Mustam Inu Shal Tevel Bepakas Shoshim Yoyim Echad Amal Beshtay Yachem Amal Peir Amalei Shmuel Rav Masna Loi Teisiv Akarach. Don't sit down on your legs. Remain standing, sir. Remain standing. Ad dimafar shat lo until you tell me the pshat lachosh maitza. I have halacha. I have to know this immediately. Immediately is an emergency. Emergency halacha. Ha milsa the amar rabban hamal v'chavir v'stam inu shayl tera apachzul b'mayoyim echamal v'shadechamal v'peh. What's the source? What's the source for this? So the answer is. It says that you're not going to want to lend your friend. You're not going to want to lend your friend because Karva Shnas Hashem Shnas Shmita. Don't do that. Al Yeda Beinecha. Give your friend some money if he needs it. Mimashmos the Kashim. There's redundancy. There's extra words, verbosity. It says Karva Shnas Hashem Shnas Shmita. Well, of course. What else is the Shnas Hashem? The Shnas Hashem is the Shnas Shmita. Why is it necessary for the person to say both of these expressions? So Mimashnema Karva Shnas Hashem. Any idea? Shnas Shmita. Elamata Malum Shnas Shnas Shmita. Elam Ochet Galdeu. Yesh Shmita Acheres. She Kazu VeEin Zuzu Amal VeChavir Stam. There's another Shmita. The redundancy is teaching exactly this halacha. Shnas Hashem. Shnas Shmita. There's something like Shnas Shmita. I lend someone money. You're not allowed to demand payment. Just like you can't demand payment when within the year of Shemitah, Shamot, so to in principle, 30 days, the first 30 days of a loan, you can't demand payment. And after, you can't demand payment, but it's not in that respect, it's not like Shemitah, but in this respect, it's like Shemitah. During the 30 days, you cannot demand payment. That's what it means. There's a sudden loss. Yesh tocha Shemitah chereshti, kizu vei zuzu hamal v'schav v'stam, shein v'shal tavu v'pach tlamit shoyam. Now, why do you say it's then it should be for a year? If you want to go look at the pasuk, karva shenas, Hasheva Shenas Hashmita. The whole drush is from the word Shenas Hashmita. Ashana is a year. So then the halacha should come out that if I lend you money, I can collect the money for 1 year. The smallest loan should be 1 year. So the answer is no, because 30 days is called a year. 30 days has the status of a year. 30 years is called a year. Why is 30 days called a year? So Rashi explains. Vashtate Rashi. Rashi says, no, there is no Rashi. There's no Rashi. Can I talk to me? There's no Rashi. I have to go to my parish over here. What's the Makar? The 30 days is a year. It's because Yud Aleph by in the parish over here. V'afilu l'dasa sovi yomecha v'shalva 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 v'shalva. And what's the source for? I don't know what the source is. Okay, this is a Joshua.
The Gemara is not telling us a drasha. I don't know where it is. Okay, I apologize. I thought I knew it. I thought I remembered it where the Makar is. 30 days in the year is called a year. It's the shortest year. You have that when it comes to 3 years. A person, a chazaka. What's a chazaka? 1 year in the middle, 12 months in the middle, and a month before, month after. Shemitah, they have a lot of halachas where we apply the principle that 30 days counts as a year itself. Fine. The other view of Shabbat, new halacha. Now, the Rashi says the reason why now we say all halachas is because since we want to show all the examples where Rav Yehuda Merav said halacha, and he had a conversation with Rav Kahana. Once we mentioned this halacha of Rav Rav and Rav Kahana in the previous halacha, so we want to go mention all the various halachas, all the various, the very common thing in Shas, to group together all the various conversations between two Amorayim. So here we mentioned the first one. The first one was there was Shmuel Rav Masna, and then he told him, the Gemara told us the halacha we mentioned before these two Amandiyam. Now we're going to get Rav Rav Tosech Besav Shabbos Chayv Chatos. If you take a piece of material, a piece of cloth, and you, like a talus katan. What's a talus katan? It's one big piece of cloth, and you cut a hole in the center. Right? And a talus katan, you cut a hole in the center, you have done a malacha deraisa of makib patas. You have made a utensil, you have fashioned a utensil. Maskur of kahanam, mechima bein zelu mukavas chavis. If you have a barrel, you open up a barrel of soda on Shabbos. Okay, so there you may be not allowed to do it, but if you open the barrel, you're not chayav machatas. What's the chiluk? The answer is a piece of material. It's one piece of material. So you cut a hole in the center. You mamish, a barrel or the top. It's not one zech. It was glued together. A bottle cap wasn't just attached. So if you open it up, you're not mamish.
Right.
Shabbos now before.
What?
Shabbos and how are you going?
They're gonna be here.